It's time for a new adventure.
Welcome to Adventures in Business, a podcast dedicated to the voices of today's entrepreneurs. Adventure is not just an action, it's an attitude. We will broaden your horizons and understandings of what it's like to be a working person today, in this moment of time on this planet we call Earth.
Welcome back to another adventure with Adventures in Business podcast on this snowy day. We're recording on 2/2/22, super cool. And we have a very super cool guest for us today. I'm here, Amy Zander, with your host, and I'm here with my lovely co-host, Lise Fisher. How are you doing?
Fantastic. A little excited about the snow, I have to say. But what you just said, 2/2/22. We have to make a note of that. I never even thought of it that way.
So who we got today?
So we have Brian Songer. He is a co-owner of the Barry Songer Agency, a Farm Bureau insurance agent. And Brian, welcome to the show. We are super excited to have you. And we're looking forward to you sharing with us who you are and what exactly do you do?
Thank you. So I'm Brian Songer. I'm a Farm Bureau agent. My 27-year anniversary is coming up next week. I always say I've had two jobs in my lifetime. I started out at Belknap's Restaurants as a dishwasher. I worked there for 10 years as a manager, and I opened restaurants, and it was a great experience. And then I became an insurance agent when I was 25, and here I sit. I have a wife, Lisa, that we will hit 30 years this summer. We have two amazing kids, Jacob and Emily, who have both now graduated from college and are in their careers. Jacob works for MSU and Emily works for Spectrum Health as a nurse in Grand Rapids.
That is a very good summary of your life, but you are definitely a man about town, Brian. So I've had the pleasure of knowing you for a few years. We're in a networking group together. We play kickball together. We've gone out to lunch a lot. And everywhere I go with you, everybody knows you, or you seem to know everybody. And so tell us a little bit about, you know, just your networking and the different organizations that you're involved in.
A business networking group is BNI, which is where you and I met, Amy. I'm passionate about BNI. I started a group, I had the pleasure of helping to start a group back in 2012 with some amazing people, and I've been at it ever since. Really enjoy the people that I network with, and it's a great source to be able to go to with my clients to be able to help them. I'm also pretty passionate about Kiwanis. At our BNI meetings, I typically bring up Kiwanis every meeting because we're always doing good things to give money back to the community. So Kiwanis of Delta Township, a group of about 24 of us, we raise money to give away. We target children and elderly to be able to help homeless shelters, things of that nature. So it's a good thing. And that's where I meet people through. Somebody said today to me, yeah, you like them. And I said, you know, I don't remember meeting anyone that I haven't liked, right? We all have great stories and great experiences. So yeah, I like people.
It shows, Brian. It really does. You're a very charismatic guy and have a lot of friends and know a lot of people. And you have a very, very strong passion for helping other people out too, which is amazing. And you do, like, you are part of the Lansing Foodies group on Facebook, and you do like to go to restaurants and stuff like that. So I know that you have a lot of experience and opinions about different local restaurants. And I know that you know a lot of wait staff and people that work at a lot of restaurants. It's always fun to go out to eat with you, Brian.
I like food as much as people.
Yeah, me too. Tell us a little bit about your Farm Bureau agency and what makes it stand out from other agencies in town.
Tim and I, my business partner, Tim Berry, he's been an agent for 29 years. I've been an agent for 27. And Farm Bureau's tagline or motto is that experience matters. And we have that experience. And we've seen so many things and we've been through so many things. That doesn't mean we know everything, but we have the resource to go to, and we recognize the fact that we need to go to those resources. I had called an underwriter on an issue this morning because I just didn't know the answer, but it was there for me to get. And we're never going to suggest something that we don't believe wholeheartedly is good for you and the protection that you need. We don't sell based on price because price isn't always a good thing. you can't go back after you've had a claim and say, hey, I'd like to have that coverage now. And we recognize that. We are willing to say that, you know what, we probably can't help you because this is really the way that we see that you need to be covered. And that's okay. There's somebody out there that will help you the way that you want to. Not trying to be arrogant or anything of that nature. It's just we believe in. We couldn't do it without our staff. They're amazing. We give them lots of things to do and they do it. And then the last thing is we really have a company that doesn't throw logic out the door. If there's a mistake that's made, they recognize it and they're not going to penalize you. They're going to help us out to get you covered as long as it was the right thing to do and it makes sense.
That's really great information. And I'm curious just a little bit, how did your experience at Bill Knapp's support you with the decision to go into insurance with that whole customer experience matters?
I have a lot of close Knapper friends. We're all Knappers. That's what we call ourselves. And we still have Knappmares. We call them that. Bill Knapp's taught me so much little things. Why would you waste that paper? Why print off five copies when you need one? Efficiency of steps. I struggle with time management. I'm easily, there's a squirrel and I see it and we'll go to that. At Bill Knapp's, we had so many people that came every day for lunch, every day for dinner. There were people in the community that would go to the Frandor location for lunch because that's where they worked. And then at dinner, they would go to a different location. And there were four restaurants in the area and they wanted to visit them all. So, you know, that was family, you know, not just the employees and your coworkers, but that person that walked in the door and you recognized that they paid your check and you wanted them to have an amazing experience, right? A presentation. I worked the majority of my career there in the kitchen area. I'm a food critic. So when I see things come out or you know, I'm watching what the waitress or waiter is doing and things like that. Sometimes too critical, but you look at that and we wanted to impress you with a nice looking plate. If you thought it looked good, it probably tasted good too. It just happens that way.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of people in this area that are missing those Bill Knapp's chocolate cakes, right?
That's right.
Oh, so good. I have always said this. I firmly believe that everybody should work in food service at least once in their life. It teaches you so much about people and business and hungry people and customer service. It's a great experience. My daughter's worked in food service. My son will when he can work. And yeah, I firmly believe that. Absolutely.
What did you decide that you were going to transition from restaurant to insurance? Of all the businesses, what made you decide to choose insurance?
Yeah, it's not an overly glamorous answer, Lisa, but my brother-in-law was an agent with Farm Bureau at the time, and he said, you should do this. It was scary. I didn't make a lot of money with them, but I knew that I had that paycheck every Friday and what it was going to be. So towards the end, it became difficult to hire people and things of that nature. And I just got a little fed up. And one day I said, let's try this. And two things that led me to it. One is when you work for corporate America, you rely a lot on the people above you for your advancement and things of that nature. And so I wanted to do something that if I failed or if I succeeded, the only person I can look at was the person in the mirror. And so that's really what led me to that. And I have to credit my brother-in-law. If he hadn't asked me, I wouldn't have done. I wouldn't have known to. Definitely struggles at the beginning, but well worth it.
I really love what you just shared about, you know, whether you succeed or whether you fail, the only one that you can hold accountable or look at is the one in the mirror. As Amy says, that's pure gold right there. That's a gold nugget.
Yeah, absolutely. Was there ever a time in your insurance journey where you felt like you wanted to just throw in the towel, give it up, do something else?
Yeah, you know, I always look back. So I do not have a college degree. My wife and I married. She was going to Michigan State. She got her degree in accounting. And so when she got her diploma and went to work, got a big girl job, right? She went to work for the state of Michigan. We kind of reversed roles. And so I called it my college. I'm going to try this. And so our incomes kind of flip-flopped. So financially, we were never really hurt. We were about the same place, but it's tough going when you first start as an agent and you're working based on commission. We started a family a few years into it. And then when we had our second child, kind of looked at what my income was, what hers was, and does this make sense? And we contemplated me being a stay-at-home dad, which would have been fun, but probably too much fun and a little detrimental to my marriage. And from there, it just kind of blossomed. I don't know if it was a mind click that made me do something different, but my career kind of took off after that. But yeah, during that time, that was a real consideration, getting out of the insurance industry.
What excites you about being in the industry now?
I still love to meet with people. Time efficiency is doing Zoom calls, having clients come to my office, let them do that traveling. What I love most is coming out to your house, sitting at your kitchen table, seeing you interact with your children or grandchildren or whatever that looks like. That is my comfort zone. You know, sometimes the time management isn't good beyond me traveling to you because I like to get to know you. I ask questions. Maybe it's because I'm nosy. I just want to know you. You know, where did you grow up? How many brothers and sisters do you have? I remember meeting with Amy and talking about her and her husband's previous career at a camp. And I still share that story with people, about a friend that did that and what a great experience that had been. So that's what excites me and I enjoy most.
Yeah, I remember when you came to our house and we talked about insurance. And one of the things I learned was we have a really old farmhouse. It was built in the late 1800s. And you educated us on the replacement costs versus wanting more coverage because we might want to, you know, replace it with authentic things and things like that to make it as close as it was possible rather than just a new build. And I had really never thought about that before. And that was really good education. You took a lot of time to talk about those different coverages so we could make the right choices. And that was eye-opening for me. I appreciated that time that you took with us.
Thank you.
Now, Amy, you bring up a very good point about that replacement value. And not that we want to have you give away your trade secrets, Brian, but right now, what should homeowners really be focusing on with the cost of materials expanding the way that they have or increasing the way that they have?
Yeah, you know, as consumers, and I'm a consumer too, right? I'm an insured. We never like it when our costs go up. But the reality is it costs more to rebuild your home today than it ever did. And so the importance of having the right type of coverage, do you have extra coverage on top of the coverage that you bought, which is out there, or are you just covering it for a flat amount? And if so, is that flat amount, has it kept up? You know, if you have a $100,000 home and the cost went up 10%, in the scheme of things, it's not a ton of money. But if you have a $500,000 home and it goes up 10%, now it's starting to expand even more. So my recommendation is every 3-4 years, just do a new cost analysis on that. And what would it take to rebuild it? And there's programs out there that if you qualify, that will, if you're insuring your home for $100,000, you can have an extra 25% or 50% of that towards a total loss. You know, total losses are not extremely common, but they happen. We hear of house fires all the time or a tornado in Kentucky. Those are devastating. You have to start from the ground up. And again, you can't go back. And I call it your bucket of money. And so make sure that bucket of money is deep enough.
And this, ladies and gentlemen, is why you need to make sure that you have that insurance representative that cares about you and wants to educate you. Thank you for that tip. That was amazing.
Are you a small business or a nonprofit that wants to market better? Of course you want to market better. Join heavy-hitting marketing agencies and experts at the Michigan Marketing Outstanding Brand Summit. All the big bosses will be there. 17 presentations on cutting-edge topics like brand dominance, how to make a logo that doesn't suck, figuring out what the heck SEO is, launching your own damn podcast, upcoming annoying changes for social media, creating videos that slay, and so much more. Win big prizes and take advantage of exclusive marketing training. Join the ranks of marketing bosses throughout Michigan and meet me, Amy Zander, the reigning marketing mobstress of Michigan. Mark Friday, May 6th, 2022 on your calendar. It's not too far away to start planning now. Follow Zedia Media on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube for a chance to win tickets. Visit zediamedia.com for more information and to purchase tickets. That's ZEEDIAMEDIA.com. Your presence will be honored. Your absence will be noted. All right, Brian, we're going to get into the portion of the show where we talk about advice. So the first question I always ask is, can you think back to a time where you were given terrible advice?
Oh, terrible advice. Yeah. So, when you're in our business, we have territories and we had a manager. This was years and years ago. And for whatever reason, they wanted to promote cold call. Does anybody like to cold call? I mean, what do we do when we get a cold call? It even tells us on our phones now, spam, that's a cold call. And what do? We ignore it. We had this advice of, you know, basically kids don't know what this is anymore, but we take a phone book out and start calling, you know, did you start at the Z's or the A's? Fortunately, I was either too young and stupid or smart enough to say, I'm not going to do that. I want a warm introduction. I want somebody that hands you off and says, hey, Brian will take care of you. We all know the power of a referral is much better than picking up a card off the supermarket tack board or whatever. So yeah, that would be the one time that comes to mind.
Yeah, that cold calling, boy, that's no fun. Those warm referrals, warm leads. Very important. Very important. So what is the best piece of advice that you have ever received?
Well, you know, I was looking at my notes before we met, and there's been a lot of mentors that have given me great advice over the years. But one of the things when you're in business yourself that can be easily overlooked is the financial part and the tax part. And an old friend, veteran agent who's now passed said, if you take every month 10% of your gross commission and you set it aside, pay it to the IRS, you will never have any problems. And he was absolutely right. The percentage never fluctuates. The dollars did. But if you stuck to that, you were pretty good. And if it was bad at the end of the year that you owed, it wasn't life-changing. So I've seen a lot of people in our company that have failed because they've gotten behind with the IRS. I've seen suicides because of that. Good, bad, or otherwise, that was an important piece and a really good piece of advice for him.
Wow, that is very profound. And knowing your finances as a business owner is so important. We've had other guests that have talked about the value of knowing your numbers, actually. So, Brian, that was an amazing piece of advice that you had received. And if you think about the other people in business that are out there, what is a piece of advice that you would like to give to others?
The attrition rate in our business is very low. I mean, people just, they don't make it beyond 12 months or so. But what I would tell people is meet people. And just continue to be visible and helpful. And, you know, good things happen. People succeed in sales and they're not very nice and they're very forceful and they're very successful. But when you're not treated well, do you go back? My partner Tim says, nobody usually buys something from somebody that they think is a jerk. And that's true, or they will, but only once. And you just never know when it comes back to you. I make sales sometimes that, you know, the seed was planted years ago and the timing just wasn't right. And for whatever reason, the timing was when they bought. And that was because of a relationship, not because of a cold call. So my recommendation is to be nice, be diligent, be visible. And just meet people, shake hands, say hello. I have to remind myself that sometimes.
Really? That surprises
this morning
me.
I do.
In terms of being an agent, sometimes I have a little bit of a shell.
It's so funny. This morning I was listening to a speaker. His name is Kirk Franklin. Actually, he's a gospel singer. And he said, be the conduit of kindness. And I'm just like, as you're speaking, even from the love of people that you shared at the beginning, Brian, you are the poster child for that conduit to kindness. And I've had the pleasure of meeting you in person a couple of different times, and you walk the walk.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Absolutely. All right. I got a quick question. Well, maybe it's not quick, but it's a little for personal reasons I'm asking this.
Okay.
But so you mentioned earlier that both of your kids have graduated and are in their new jobs fairly recently. Yep. So can you talk a little bit about just like that transition as a parent and what successes your kids had and how you helped them or any just anything that you could provide for that? Because I've got that coming up in my life in a couple of years.
Nobody ever comes out and says, oh, I have horrible children, right? So we all have great kids. And so I try not to ever say that, oh, I've got the best son, the best daughter. We were a family. Athletics was a big part of their growing up in our life. For years, we traveled weekends for basketball tournaments, volleyball tournaments, baseball tournaments. And I've had people tell me, oh, I've never do that. That's too much time. But that was our life and we chose that. And I wouldn't change it for the world. And I think that taught them to be responsible. And you look back and when your children graduate, I put on Facebook one time, you know, you see on Facebook, your child graduates, and then there's, you know, 15 others that you know because they were all together. And I just said, you know, we're to be commended as parents because they don't get there without us. And I don't mean that, you know, if you write a check or you don't write a check, I don't believe there's a wrong answer in that. If you choose to say, you know, my child's going to do it on their own or I'm going to pay for everything, it's not a wrong answer. It's what your family has chosen, but we instilled something in them years ago that resonated that they had to get their degree and then take that next step. And you worry that what's the next step going to be? How long is it going to take? My daughter was in a career that, you know, you just have to, you have offers coming everywhere because it's the medical field and it's nurses and everybody wants them. My son struggled with what he was going to do and it didn't happen as quickly, but it's there now. He's buying a house next month. You know, when you watch that, empty nesting is very enjoyable. it is wonderful to sit there at 5:30 and say, hey, what do you want to do for dinner? Maybe nothing, maybe something. You want to go out, you want to pick up takeout, or and then you sit and watch Jeopardy together, and that's okay too. But transitioning to that, one of the things that I'm finding difficult now is I want to do it for them. I want, you know, and you can't. I'm talking too much, but my son's buying this house. So, you know, he wanted this refrigerator that my sister was selling. So I bought it. He wanted her washer and dryer. So I bought it. Now, you know, I've got a contract. I have to step back. This is his and his, you know, his thing. That's hard to do. You know, you're a mom, so you're always going to, mama bears protect. And that's what you're going to want to do. But I don't know if I answered your question or shared my story.
No, you did. Absolutely. And I always enjoy watching the things on Facebook that you do with your kids or hearing about them in person. It just seems like you're always jumping in the car, going to a Tigers game or this or that, fishing with your daughter. Love to see the pictures of you guys fishing. You guys are very close. And they both live fairly close still. So that's nice. Yep. Yeah.
I hope that's always that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I appreciate you sharing that with me. That's great advice. And I will keep it in mind.
Such a great reminder. Parenting doesn't end when you're an empty nester. Sometimes my kids, I feel, need me more as adults raising their children and just being able to be there for them when they need it. But you're right, you can't solve all their problems for them.
Yeah.
Parenting is not for sissies, that's for sure.
Starts out changing diapers and, you know, goes from there.
Yeah. All right. So, Brian, is there anything that you're currently listening to or reading that is giving you inspiration that we can share with our listeners?
I'm constantly doing continuing education. Sometimes that's a burden and sometimes it's not. But I have to do it, right? Because the state tells me I have to. But aside from that, when I do it, I want it to be meaningful. So I want to learn something. I share the story. There's a insurance agents have this, you know, like there's all these little letters behind their name on a business card. And so I have a plethora of them. And the latest one I accumulated was a CIC designation, a commercial insurance counselor. And I take these five classes and it's time consuming. You got to pass them. And a friend of mine said, why are you doing it? And I said, well, you know, it accomplishes my credits. And I'm, you know, I just want to learn. I still want to learn. He says, does it make you any more money? I said, maybe not. I said, inadvertently, it does. And I recall that there was a claim and I had learned something pretty elementary in one of the classes that I had never thought about. And it's as simple as if you have a certain type of coverage, the burden of proof for the loss falls on the company and not you as the insurer. So I had a claim come through and we had denied it. We said it was maintenance. It was not sudden and accidental. And I went back to the adjuster in the company and I said, this is the type of coverage he has. We're saying it, but we haven't proven it. We need to prove that in order to deny the claim. And I had learned that in the class. I never would have come up with that before. So something as simple as that that I learned, it reversed the claim. We paid it. The customer's happy. Not that that's what it's always about. And we should pay if we're supposed to pay and we shouldn't if we're not. But that was just one little, you know, I think we should try to learn something every day, right? You know, good, bad, or otherwise, and small or big or whatever it was. But that's what I had taken away from that class, and it worked for me. Did it pay me a dollar amount? Inadvertently, it did because I kept that client. And who knows if I wouldn't have, but it paid me here. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Love it. So I have to ask you, you know, you've brought up that you're a napper and a foodie. So what is your favorite restaurant and the dish at that restaurant?
Yeah, I knew you were going to ask that. And I don't know that I have a favorite one, but I have things that I want to go to certain places for. And I'm going to make a plug. My wife and I like the Airport Tavern. And we love their crinkle fries. Why do crinkle fries taste better than straight fries? We have no idea. But as empty nesters, we looked at each other from the couch to the chair and said, want to go to the tavern and get a burger. So we did last night. We got there, we ordered our burgers and our fries, and they came and they didn't have crinkle fries. Oh, and we did find out it was a temporary thing. But I tend to just, you know, I like the macaroni and cheese at Meat. It's amazing, you know? Yeah, I love Mexican food. That is, I could eat that every day and I could eat every different place. So, you know, that's probably not a good answer, but I have friends that will come from out of town and say, hey, you know where to go. Where should I go? And I always give them an answer. Hey, this is good. And they figure if there's a restaurant that I know it and I've been. That's not true, but I do like to frequent. I have a group of ex-BNI people that we meet once a month and we go someplace different every month. We try to make it. I like little dive bars. I call them dive bars. They might not have the BNI bar, South Riley, the Eagle Tavern or Eagle Inn, places like that. So it's what gets me in my belly.
You know, thank you, though, for supporting our local restaurants and businesses. That's really important. During a pandemic, pre-pandemic, supporting local is so huge. So thank you for doing that. And, you know, I'm contemplating today walking knee deep in snow both ways to a Mexican restaurant in town, because that, too, is my favorite.
So what's your favorite Mexican restaurant?
Fiesta Chara in DeWitt.
Nice.
That is. Yeah. Like I said, I can walk there knee deep in snow.
Yeah.
How about you, Amy?
I like Pablo's. In Old Town. Yeah. But I like Mexican food too. I'm not that picky about that stuff for sure. Yeah. All right. So Brian, is there anything that you want to tell our listeners that we haven't asked you before we wrap up with our last question?
That I want to tell them or ask them?
Anything. Yeah.
Oh, I think it's important, not as business owners, but as people, to give back in some way. And I'm still working with my son on that. My daughter's pretty good about that. But it doesn't, you know, I go to a Kiwanis meeting every week. I serve on the Grand Ledge softball board. You don't have to, right? When you're in a group, there's 20% of the people that are doing 80% of the work. You don't have to be the 80% of the work, but you can put in your 10 or 20% or help. And it doesn't have to be financial. You know, there are groups that are all about business people getting together and writing checks, and that's great. That's what works for them. But, you know, we've had Kiwanis trips where we go clean up a park. That didn't cost any of us a dollar. It costs us our time. And I just, we can all do something. I tease my brother a lot. I love him to death. I like to pick on him. I poke the bear often. And I tell him, I'm a giver. You're not. I'm a giver. You're not. That's because I want him to join Kiwanis with me. And he tells me constantly he doesn't have time. He retired at 48 years old, but he doesn't have time. I get it. But, you know, not to pick on him, but we all have something to offer. There's an organization called RJ Shuffle. They make wooden toys for kids in the hospital. They make, I think it's little wagons and things of that nature. You know, that doesn't, somebody has that skill set. I probably wouldn't be a good skill set to go over there and hammer nails into that stuff and do that. I would if they really needed me to. But everybody has something that they can offer. And it doesn't have to be 40 hours a week. It can be an hour a month, and it helps. So that's what I'm.
Great answer. I firmly believe that every business model should have a giving back to the community in their core values. So yeah. Speaking our language, Brian.
With your art. Yeah, you're doing that with your art. That's amazing.
Yeah, thank you. All right. So all your listeners out there, get involved in something, give back in some way. And we have our last question for you, Brian, before we wrap up. All right. Who should we talk to next on this podcast?
Who should you talk to next? There's so many good people and organizations, and we're fortunate enough to be in business, but does it have to be a business?
Nope. I mean, if there's somebody in your Kiwanis group, that might be a good person to talk about Kiwanis particularly, or some other organization that you're involved in.
No, I think, you know, Sarah Pettit is our president with Delta Township Kiwanis. She also works for, I hope I don't botch this, the Salvation Army. So is she a giver or is she a giver? Young mom and doing that. And I think she would be a great source. You know, one thing about Kiwanis is we get so many amazing organizations every week that come and talk to us that are nonprofits. Boys and Girls Club came a couple of weeks ago, you know, that pulls at your heartstrings. There are just so many amazing organizations that need their voice heard.
Perfect. We will reach out to them. And if you want to spread the word too and let them know about our podcast, we will get these people on.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Brian, we have so enjoyed having you as a guest on our Adventures in Business podcast. It has just been very eye-opening to learn about who you are and your heart and what you're doing in our community, let alone in the lives of others, protecting them with their insurance needs. So thank you so much for being here today. We look forward to seeing you in the community.
All right. Yep. You guys have been a treat. Thanks.
Thanks, Brian. All you listeners. Go out and have an adventure this week.
Grab your passport and join Lisa and Amy as they interview a huge variety of today's professionals. You can discover Adventures in Business at ZediaMedia.com or find it at your favorite podcast source. If you'd like to be a guest at our show, we dare you to go to ZediaMedia.com. That's ZediaMedia.com and sign up.
This is a Zedia Media production.